What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Let's talk to BMAC, Brian McFadden. He is with CBS Sports and NFL analyst, has been covering the NFL camps and obviously two-time Super Bowl champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. B, we're a little frustrated. I know we've had this conversation, but, you know, week two, all right, this might be the last chance for us to see our starting quarterback. And then Raheem Morris comes out this week and says he's probably not going to play, which he's not. But they had a joint practice. So my question to you is, let's do away with preseason and have more joint practices around the NFL, because we're seeing more of it anyway.
Yeah, we are seeing more of it, and I think it's more of a personal preference in terms of the head coach, because some coaches, they have joint practices and they still play their starters, you know what I mean, a series or whatever the case may be. So it's all about the personal preference of that said head coach, and I think Coach Raheem is just feeling like his starters are getting more than enough work throughout these joint practices that he feels they don't need to be participating at any point in those preseason games. And you guys know how I feel about it as well. I feel like not playing in the preseason in those games, regardless if you have joint practices or not, should be an earned opportunity, in my opinion, right? Because if you have been overly successful, if you've been a playoff caliber team, if you've been getting in the postseason and your fans have been really, really rejoicing because of your success, that's one thing. But if you're trying to find all of those relevant entities that I just mentioned, I think you should participate in preseason games. I think it's really important to establish rhythm, because when you look at Atlanta, I mean, the first game is against Tampa. All the first four games are against NFC opponents. And those are four games. When you look at the schedule, you have Tampa, Minnesota, Carolina, Washington. Right. It's safe to say in two of those ball games, I think Atlanta should be the favorites when you look at Minnesota and Carolina. In my opinion, when you look at the success from a year ago and then the expectations for this year, those are four games where you want to make sure you don't come out slow. Because in my opinion, when you look at those four games, guys, you can easily see a 3-1 scenario or maybe a 2-2 or 1-3. Either case, you don't want to get off to a slow start, because we will do what? Look back to these missed opportunities in preseason games.
Hey, B, I know we talked so much about Michael Penix Jr. getting ready. I know you play defensive back, but how did you approach the preseason, and what was the attitude?
Rhythm. Mm-hmm. When I was in Pittsburgh, and you got to look at my tenure in Pittsburgh, we were always pretty good, right? So the starters all played at some point in time. Granted, it was a different landscape because we had four games. But now when you look at the landscape only being three games, it's all about having the starters get out there to have that rhythm. Because I never felt like when I became a starter, and the same can be said for the entire locker room, the first time we're in a game-like scenario is week one. No, because now you got to go through the growing pains. At least when you play a series or two in preseason play, you kind of get those game-like kinks out of the way, because you can say whatever you want to say about how valuable joint practices is, guys, Carl and Mike. It's not the same than being in the stadium when you have to get these stops. Because think about it in joint practices. If you don't get a stop in a joint practice game-like scenario, what's the ramifications? It's not a real game, so you can't lose or you can't win. It's not the same. So I understand folks say preseason is fake football. It's not fake, because there's still ramifications at stake. People are watching you. You have millions of fans watching. You have people in the stadium watching you. You have game-like scenarios that you go through in regular season games. Third down situation, trying to get a stop, red zone situation, not trying to allow points on the scoreboard. Those are different entities in terms of joint practices that I think are meaningful to get that rhythm going for regular season football.
Brian McFadden, I made it a big deal. I thought it was a big deal, and then it turned out to be a big deal, because the debut of Shedeur Sanders was the most watched preseason game in 10 years on NFL Network. But yet he's hurt now with this oblique. What is the quarterback situation? What is the outlook there in Cleveland for you?
Well, for Shedeur, his momentum that he gained because of his performance last week is stagnant right now. He had really good momentum in terms of moving up the depth chart because of how well he played. He was slated to start this preseason game against Philly. Not to mention they had joint practices where he was going to get significant reps to kind of continue to showcase I could be a guy. But because of the injury, it just opens the window up for a guy like Dylan Gabriel to steal some of that momentum or earn some of that momentum that Shedeur Sanders received from a week ago. So it's just the unkindly fall in football with injuries when you can't control these things. But for Shedeur Sanders, because he was last on the depth chart, currently fourth, this is something clearly he didn't need at this time because he had good traction going into week two. And now we got to wait and see because think about this. What's his status going to be for next week? We don't know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So that oblique injury is very, very tricky because he got injured warming up, I think, during Wednesday or Tuesday practice. But remember how fast they came out and said he's not going to play Saturday. And like it was almost like, well, dang, it got to be serious if they're already saying he ain't participating when the game was like 2 or 3 days away. So we don't know. We got to wait and see. But I can tell you this much. Indirectly, Dylan Gabriel is smiling from ear to ear. Man, he's elated because of this opportunity. Not to mention Shedeur is injured. So, right. Like I said, indirectly, I'm not saying he wished any injury upon any player. But now this actually opens the window once again for him.
Real quick, Brian, just as a follow-up on Carl's question about Shedeur, if by chance, because of the injury, they place him on the practice squad to start the season, does another team come in and swoop him up, or is there more collusion?
You know, that's a good question. That is a good question. And that's the thing for Cleveland. Do you take a chance in doing that, Carl, Mike, right? Do you take a chance in doing that and put him on a practice squad where you know someone can probably come get him? Mm. I don't know. Because I'll tell you this much. If you put him on practice squad, if I'm Sean McVay, I go get him. Because of what they're dealing with now with Matthew Stafford, and then you look at Jimmy Garoppolo, and just the future plan at the quarterback position. So I don't think they put him on practice squad. And that's the main reason. But secondly, when you keep Shedeur Sanders on your 53-man roster, the bottom line will always be in the positives. You guys just stated this was the most watched preseason game on NFL Network in over a decade. It was solely because of 12. It ain't had nothing to do with Bryce Young. It had nothing to do with the Panthers. It had nothing to do with Kevin Stefanski. It was solely because of 12. So now, if I'm the owner for the Browns, I see the value that Shedeur Sanders is going to bring, even if he don't play. Because if he's on the roster, fans are always going to think, well, this might be the opportunity that he might play. Because we know Cleveland probably will be bad this year. So now, if Shedeur Sanders is on the roster, people are going to tune in just hoping for a letdown by Joe Flacco or whoever the starting quarterback is, just to see if Shedeur Sanders is going to get an opportunity to play. And people are going to tune in just from that side, from that standpoint, regardless.
He played 11 snaps in the first preseason game. I'm talking about the Heisman Trophy winner. Five, I think, on defense, six on offense. And the bottom line for me and Travis Hunter is you played defensive back, as Mike mentioned. Is this real? Like, is this what we're going to see when the season rolls around? Is he really going to play 30 snaps on offense and 30 on defense? I still have a hard time believing it, B.
I think he's going to play more offensively than defensively. I would prefer Travis Hunter start on the defensive side and be more of a rotational player offensively because you guys know how the game go. Most of these starting wide receivers are coming in and out of the lineup anyway. It's like Drake London, for instance. In Atlanta, he doesn't play every offensive snap. He doesn't. You know what I mean? And that's usually the mindset for wide receivers. But if I'm Jacksonville, when you start in the secondary, A.J. Terrell ain't coming out the game. You know, Jesse Bates ain't coming out the game. So it would be easier to get him acclimated to the offensive side of things than being more of a situational player on the defensive side where rhythm is very, very important. But you know what I did, guys? You know, I'm a fantasy lover. I love fantasy football. I went and looked at the wide receivers in terms of the projections for week one and kind of throughout the entire season. Guys, they had Travis Hunter projected to get around 14 points, which is really, really good. Really good. And not just 14 in week one, but throughout the entire season. So it's almost like they're anticipating seeing Travis Hunter more so playing offense than defense. And for sake of argument, let me guys give you the comparison. Ja'Marr Chase is slated to get like 18, 19 points. Justin Jefferson is around 15. So Travis Hunter was in that top three, top four category in terms of his projected fantasy points in week one. So that tells me the odd makers and the experts really believe Travis Hunter would play more offense, way more offense than defense.
Talking about man Brian McFadden, he won two Super Bowls. Man knows what's what. The Steelers are a fascinating story, man. By the way, I said to Carl, and I know you're pretty close to Pittsburgh, I love Cam Hayward, but, man, it seems like he's barking up the wrong tree at age 36 to be asking for a raise. Sounds like he's going to be in camp, and that's that, right?
Man, that is a very, very, you know, confusing situation right now. And it's confusing because it kind of came out of nowhere. You know, throughout the entire offseason, Cam was very, very adamant about Aaron Rodgers and talking about Aaron Rodgers being a part of the team. And then during camp, now he's basically a hold in. Now, I can't disagree with Cam Hayward. If you're talking about being in the late 20s, if you had to rank the players in his position and what they will see in 2025, there's no way Cam Hayward should be in the late 20s. No, he at his age, he's still a dominant interior force. He means a lot to the defense. But when you look at where he is, to your point, I mean, this probably will be his last ride in the NFL. So how do you handle this contract situation? And Chris Boswell is also holding in also. And we know how what his value is to the team and with his skill set at kicking field goals and extra points. So I think they do get something done. I think they value Cam Hayward too much and not get something done and expect for him to come.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Play under that salary for 2025, but it kind of came out of nowhere when you look at all the moves they made and anticipating and thinking that Cam Hayward will be a part of the team day one in training camp, but clearly that has not been the opportunity.
That's how I feel. B, great stuff, man. As always, we'll continue to count down to the regular season. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, thank you for having me.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.